The Earth stage of Earth evolution is about to dawn, and we've got a pretty mess on our hands. The spiritual beings of the hierarchies, who not so long ago in cosmic terms were living together in a perfect, harmonious, completely integrated social organization, are at war with one another. Some of the most powerful and promising beings have abdicated their responsibilities and have set themselves in opposition to the forces going forward. There is uncertainty. There is as much darkness as there is light. And now the Earth is about to go through its stage of greatest densification. How did things come to such a pass? How did an omniscient, omnipresent God allow this to happen? Or did he allow this to happen? Or did he make it happen? And these are questions that Rudolf Steiner did not hesitate to face up to and make an effort to answer and explain. So before I go there, I just want to digress a moment and talk about the nature of these rebellious beings and what this meant for the course of cosmic and earthly evolution. Now, as I noted at the beginning of this discussion about evolution, God, as we can call that being or complex of beings making these things occur, God had decided that new development was needed in a system that was already perfect. And one of the consequences of this development would be that it would also lead to the further development of beings who were inherently perfect themselves. So this is nothing very easy to understand or even comprehend at all, but we can say that there was now the possibility of promotion for the hierarchical beings. That is to say that they could in turn in themselves become more godlike. So with each successive phase of Earth evolution, old Saturn, old Sun, and old Moon, not only did more and more of the human being begin to manifest on those planetary spheres, but also higher beings were able to cast off a part of their nature. And the parts that they cast off became the substance of the human being, and also became, as we will see, particularly on the Earth, the substance of the kingdoms of nature. We've already seen how the mineral world stayed behind at the Saturn stage, the plant world at the Sun stage. The animal world, of course, is deeply connected to that dragon-like amalgam of animals, the human form on the Moon. And we could say that animals, to some extent, have remained with a moon consciousness. Only the human being now has really gone forward to the Earth. But that jumps ahead for a moment. Spiritual beings also remained at different stages, but there no longer was a Saturn. There no longer was a Sun or a Moon for those beings who chose to remain there. So instead, they got involved increasingly with each new planetary phase. These were beings who were meant to be promoted. These were archangels who were meant to go on to the next stage and become archai. Angels meant to become archangels. spirits of form who were meant to become spirits of movement, but who instead got stuck, remained in a prior state of being. However, the development of the universe, the forward thrust, begun when God decided there would be development at all, that worked on them as well. So these were, as it were, angels who had the force of archangels but remained at the angelic stage. Archangels who, for all practical purposes, had all the power of archai but remained at the archangelic stage, and so on and so forth. Now, how can we understand this? Maybe in your high school, as in mine, there was a guy named Denny. Denny sat in the back of my math class in 11th grade. I was 18 at that time, in the 11th grade. Denny was 20. He had been in 11th grade for, he told me, 3 years. Okay? Denny was a really cool guy because he was 20. You know, he'd been around the block a lot more than I had. Had his life experiences, many, many more than I ever had. And boy, did that guy know the ins and outs of the 11th grade. He could read every teacher. He told you which ones were really serious when they spoke firmly and which ones were just putting it on for show. Who were lenient graders, who really meant what they said, and so on and so forth. It was really good to sit next to Denny because he'd really show you the ropes. He'd help you around. And then when class was over and maybe you had a little time on your hands, Denny shared his cigarettes with you, a little booze, smoked some dope on the side, whatever. Yeah, that came with Denny as well. And you sort of had to sort out what you could really take from Denny that would serve you well, and what Denny wanted to take from you that might make you more like Denny. All right, so that perhaps you can relate to. And if you can't relate to it, I really envy you. You must have been an incredible student not to meet somebody like Denny along the way. Maybe you went to a Waldorf school. So these beings that I'm describing, who could have gone on, as it were, to the 12th grade graduation and even on to still higher education, they chose to stay where they were. They chose to stay in place. But like Denny, Denny had the body of a 20-year-old. Denny had a lot of 20-year-old attitudes, even though, for reasons known only unto Denny, he chose to stay in the 11th grade. So these beings, Rudolf Steiner calls, using an antiquated term, but it's there in the books, retarded beings, or retarding beings, or hindering beings, or beings of hindrance. These are beings who are the brakes in the cosmic system. They are holding back. So this is one force, we might say, that begins as conservatism, goes on to become hindering, and finally, in turn, as earthly conditions unfold again, becomes a principle of evil, a principle that chooses to hold humanity altogether back, along with these beings. And they are powerful. Because they remain primarily at the level of angels and archangels, they are close to human beings. As we've seen, angels, more than any other hierarchy, create a very intimate relationship with the human being. And angels are themselves under the guidance, under the command of archangels, who through the angels are also able to work in a relatively direct way on human beings. So these hindering beings chose to stay at those ranks because then they can be much more inculcated with matters affecting humanity. And they become then beings who have a special connection with humanity on the earth, because they have a particular interest in the way in which humans do or do not become wound up with the mineral world, with these forces of densification. So what happened then was that were these beings to remain sort of with the other hierarchical beings, if they were just to stay on and be amongst them, then the danger of a fully fledged revolt in heaven was a very real one. Then the energies of the hierarchies needing to go forward would be far too engaged in simply dealing with these dissident beings, these holding back beings, these beings creating one obstacle after another. So the battle that I described, the war in heaven, was a casting of these beings out of the heights of heaven. And these beings were then, as it were, cast out on the earth. And there they could take on a palpable identity. Now, once again, it must be said that in the spiritual world, what these beings are doing is not evil. They are hindering, they're working in a very different way, they're asserting a conservative force, but it is not evil until it comes on the earth. It is only when we find it in the densified, hardened conditions of the earth that something grows fixed into a principle of evil. On the other hand, there are also gray areas. There are hindering beings, conservative beings, who chose not to go forward, not only because they were happier on an earlier stage of Earth evolution and development, but also because of an interest in and an attachment to humanity. And these beings were then to become known as the gods and the goddesses of mankind. These are the pre-Christian gods and goddesses. These are, as it were, the leaders of the ancient pagan societies, the ancient pagan cultures. They are these lofty hierarchical beings who have remained closer to human beings, but who bring, as it were, forces greater than their rank would belie. They're very, very powerful. But they are not the most powerful. They are not the highest. They don't, except in one exceptional circumstance, extend even as far as the second hierarchy. They're exclusively beings of the third hierarchy. And they are well aware that their powers are demarcated, that they have their limits. And one will see this in all of the ancient myths. There's always a situation, there's always a time. It's most vividly presented in sort of the newest of the mythologies, Norse mythology, where the leader of all of the gods, who is generally of the rank of archangel with archai-like powers, this leader must always have a time when he looks up to the stars, when he looks beyond his palace, his cloud-like dwelling, and must acknowledge that there is a destiny that rules greater than he, that there are forces, that there are beings, that there are spirits exceeding his own power. and he must in certain ways accept their final judgment. So these are beings who are evil on the one hand and actually serve mankind on the other hand. They descend more deeply into Earth evolution. They get their hands dirty in a way that the hierarchies cannot and do not do. They flirt with matter in a way that the hierarchies do not. And they lead humanity into many of the skills, many of the crafts, many of the activities that we need to survive conditions on the earth, which the highest hierarchies could not possibly do because they've never been in that condition. So it's these figures, these beings who are sort of neither here nor there, who now are poised to take hold of humanity. And it's like Mephistopheles says in Faust, I am the spirit of evil who nonetheless serves the good. I'm always trying to do the bad, and I always serve the good. And there's this recognition in these beings. Though they have rebelled, though they have stood back, though they have broken away, nonetheless, when they return to the spiritual world in their own pariah-like states, they're well aware that in the final analysis, they are going to serve the good. So yes, we can say that God has created these beings, that God has created circumstances in the course of this completely new development of the universe that would lead to conflict, and that out of this conflict, an entirely new class of hierarchical beings will arise. On the one hand, the hindering beings, on the other hand, human beings. Human beings on the earth, the hierarchy of man. So this is something that God has provided. Conflict, the possibility of error, and certainly opening the door to evil on the earth. And as Steiner says, why? Why would this be done? The hierarchies could develop, could move forward without this. Why does it go so far? And the reason is so that human beings can choose, so that there is the possibility of freedom. One can only be free when one has choices to make, decisions to make, when there are different courses of action open, when there are different choices of activity or morality, and only when that occurs can there be freedom. So this is another one of the tasks of these hindering, retarding beings who now are waiting raptly for Earth evolution as such, the Earth itself, to unfold, so that now they can really be directly active with the hierarchy to be with these incoming beings of human beings, of man.